for the federal government? Have you got 4 or more hours of annual leave you can donate? Well, if you say yes to both, then leave it to Charlie. Hi, this is Marlena Lieberg for ACB Radio. Charlie Crawford, former ACB Executive Director and current Director of VA Blind Rehabilitation Services, has been approved for the Leave Donation Program. Charlie sustained a brain aneurysm at work on Monday, July 12th, and he's still in critical condition in a Washington, D.C. hospital. If you wish to donate leave, please complete form OPM-630, that's form OPM-630, and fax it to Janet Thompson at 202-273-9143. The form number again is OPM-630, and the fax number for Janet Thompson is 202-273-9143. Only annual leave can be donated with a minimum donation of 4 hours, but anybody working in the federal government is eligible to donate leave. Charlie's recovery time is expected to be at least 3 months or more. So, if you've got a minimum of 4 hours of federal annual leave that you can donate, why not leave it to Charlie? Hi, I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello and welcome to Marlena. It's another Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on where you are in the world, Monday afternoon, and we get to be together once more for just about another hour. With me tonight, I have a most fascinating guest, someone whom I've only just met, and although we've been communicating about this program for some time, Cameron Strife and I have just met via phone. Good evening, Cameron, and welcome to Marlena.
Good evening, Marlena. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's lovely that we were finally able to work this out. Now, you are a musician, is that correct?
Yes.
And let's start by talking a bit about you and then move into your CD, which I really want to give you the opportunity to just advertise the heck out of. Anytime ACB Radio can be supportive of a blind musician, I'm on that page. Before we get into our chatting, let me give out the telephone number and remind folks that if you are listening at any time other than 1 Universal on Monday morning, which is 9 p.m. Sunday night Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, you're listening to a rerun and the number doesn't work. But it does work for the next hour, and that's 1-866-666-7926. And we're also simulcasting into the chat room at www.ourplace.acbradio.org. The speakeasy room, and we will reserve that for our international listeners who may like to ask a question. So, Cameron Strife, who are you?
Well, I suppose I would define myself as a unique musician, a unique songwriter. I'm an engineer and producer, and I have other interests besides music and other hobbies, but that's my main thing, and I'm pursuing it. Active career in the music industry.
Are you in college? Are you studying music?
Yes, I'm just finishing a degree at Purchase College in New York, a degree in audio production.
In audio production. Now, we, of course, there are many of us who are involved with ACB Radio who are also interested in audio production and kind of understanding the ins and outs of that. What exactly does a degree in audio production entail?
I would suppose it would be between various facets of the music business, between studio production, working as a producer, working as a sound engineer, both live and in the studio, and also studying about the music business, and contracts and things of that nature, and also studying various genres of music, various producers, and music theory.
Do you find that your blindness presents any particular challenge to you in terms of equipment or accessibility?
Yes, I think that nowadays, especially with so much digital equipment on the market, although equipment for sighted people is really becoming extremely advanced and extremely compact, that does present a unique set of challenges for a blind or visually impaired person, because as things can become more compact and things become more multifunction, people users tend to rely on the display more. So it's more of a visual thing nowadays, as opposed to back when you had an analog console and, you know, analog multitrack.
Yeah, I've got a harmonizer box sitting right here next to me that has so many settings, and it's so visual that I when I use it, I really just have to fiddle with it till I get the right noise out of it,
yeah,
because it's so inaccessible. So you've been interested in music since you were a child?
I started sort of pursuing music when I was 13, 14. Started with the guitar. Had an old acoustic guitar, so I just play along with records, like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and that. And then I moved on to things like, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin in my later teenage years. And in my first band, we played mostly classic rock in that vein, Aerosmith and Pink Floyd. A lot of the 60s, 70s, and 80s music before I veered off into, you know, other genres of music.
Now, on your CD, which I do want to get to, and we are going to play some tracks from Cameron's CD tonight, but did you do all of the production of the CD?
Yes, I did. That whole CD was basically done with myself in the studio. I just locked myself in for hours on end. I would do the initial arrangements, do all the tracking, and then do the editing and then mix. So, yeah, it was sort of a all-in-one project, except for the cover art. And a friend of mine, John Lee, over in the UK, he mastered the album. But I did the majority of the studio work and the composition.
And what is the name of the CD?
The CD is called Expression.
And how long has it been on the market?
It has been on the market for about a month and a half now.
So it's very new.
Yeah, quite new, although a lot of the tracks are a couple of years old. I actually started this project when I was 19, and I'm just turning 23 this week, so it's taken a little while to get out due to budget constraints and things of that nature. And I also rewrote three pieces of music along the way, so it's been a constantly evolving project for quite some time. But I'm glad that it's finally done and it's, you know, it's available. So.
And let's start by letting people know how they can get it, and we'll do that also again at the end of the program. But I'd like for you to have the opportunity to give your contact information at least a couple of times. So, first of all, how can people get your CD? And secondly, how can people reach you directly?
Okay. I'll answer those in order. My CD is available through a CD store called CD Baby, and the website is www.cdbaby.com/CameronStrife, CameronStrife.
Okay.
And that will bring you to my product page. And on, as far as contact information is concerned, if you go to my website, which is www.CameronStrife.com, that's CameronStrife.com, you will also find a link on the homepage, which will bring you to the CD Baby website.
Now, CD Baby, is that sort of an incubator for new artists to launch?
Yeah, it's used for a lot of independent artists tend to use them because they, you know, they sell things internationally, and it's a good place to advertise, and it's very good the way the business is set up. I think it's very beneficial to, you know, to any artist looking to market their music. You know, someone who doesn't have a record deal or, say, a distribution deal at the time, it's a very good stepping stone, I think.
Well, very cool.
I'm very happy with this.
Very cool. Well, let's play a track from the CD.
Okay.
The first one I have lined up here is Into the Darkness. Can you tell us a bit about that? And when did you write it? Why did you write it? And I find it a particularly haunting, in a good way, a haunting melody. And it gives me the feeling of sort of, I don't know, almost like I'm kind of going into something big and soft and fluffy. Now, am I totally whacked out? I mean, what is the story behind this song?
Okay. That was one of actually, I think that was near the end of the project. I had written the first time around when I did the first batch of songs. So it was like the first draft of the album. And that song went through a couple incarnations. And I actually came up with the main riff, the main theme, the lead guitar part, when I was practicing some Joe Satriani music on guitar. And I just came up with this little riff, and I thought, well, that would be good, you know, in the context of a song. So I just wrote out an arrangement and built it up from that. The actual idea for the song, I think it's a mixture of things. Part of it is about a dream, sort of like a nightmare, like you're going into something. You don't know what you're going to find, and you can't turn back. Part of it, I think, was to do with certain things that were happening in my life at the time, and I wanted to express those emotions in song. You know, it's a little bit hard to sort of place, you know, what they are, you know, what exactly I was trying to say. But I think the song speaks for itself, and I think whatever people can draw from music, however they interpret it, you know, that's good for them, because that's how they connect. And that's how I connect with a lot of music as well.
And that's
by, you know, the vibe and what it makes you think of. And think,
yeah,
about.
And that's one of the beautiful things about music, isn't it? That it can be so individual. Let's listen. That's a pretty complex piece, and all of that is you.
Yeah, that's all me.
Wow. How does it feel to you to sort of sit here on the other end of the phone and listen to your own music? I try my hand at singing and sort of recording things and playing around with things. And when I sit back and listen to what I do, which is nowhere near the caliber of what you do, I think, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have breathed here, or that S was too strident. Or are you able to listen to yourself and enjoy, or are you constantly thinking, well, we should fix this, or maybe it should be that way?
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist. I'm extremely critical of my own work, whether it be production or composition or performance, etc., or arrangements. I can enjoy it at a certain level, but I'm very analytical with my own work. But that's the fact that because I mixed the record and I did the editing and all that, I've literally heard it probably 200 times.
Yeah, so. At least.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting feeling to hear your own music and know that that's being heard around the world. That's something you sort of can't really describe. It's really a very good feeling. So,
where do you hope to take your music? I realize that you've got your first CD out. Are you already thinking about another? What sort of is the next step for Cameron Strife?
Oh boy, let's see. Well, I'm actually working on two albums at the moment. A friend of mine has hired me to do some arrangements and to play guitar on his album, and hopefully tour with his band as well. It's still in the very, very early stages, though. As far as myself personally, I'm working on the next album, and I would like to start. I mean, I'm still in school full time, but I plan to do small sort of regional tours during that time, and then in the next year or two, I'd like to try to branch out and try to do some rock festivals in Europe, and in the UK, and eventually, I'd like to work internationally full time, just recording and touring and, you know, doing session playing and things like that. So eventually, I want to do it as a full time career.
Well, and I certainly, if this CD is any indication of your capability, I would suspect that will be a dream that you will certainly realize. I'm quite impressed with the different sort of types of music and feelings that are evoked from this CD.
Yeah, I try to make a very eclectic record because my music ranges from, you know, from like Bach and Beethoven up to, you know, things like Rage Against the Machine and, you know,
Yeah. Is that hard? Is it hard to sort of keep your focus with such a broad spectrum? I mean, I can understand, for example, how artists who are within one genre can sort of come up with new and innovative things within that genre, but this CD is truly eclectic. And is it hard to kind of think around those corners for you?
Yeah, it's hard to break out. It's hard to break out of what you're used to. And my background is really blues and heavy metal and classic rock. That's what I've played all my life. And to branch out to other genres, I mean, you have to study the music and the playing technique, and also as a mixing engineer, for example, on this record, I listen to various styles of music and, you know, how do they EQ that guitar, or what effects do they use here on this style of, you know, mix, for this style of recording. So, yeah, it's a discipline that you really have to make yourself do, and it takes a long time to, you know, to break out of what you're comfortable with and try something different. And it's a lot of trial and error. I threw away 3 or 4 finished tracks for this record because they weren't up to the caliber that I wanted. So,
do you read music braille?
No, I don't.
Really?
I lost my sight when I was 14. I can read braille, grade 2, but I don't. I never investigated braille music.
Really?
I didn't have a teacher. So.
Wow.
So I taught myself to play by ear. Taught myself to sing. Sort of taught myself pitch, pitch and timing and meter and things like that. So
fascinating. So you sort of just made up your mind that this is where I'm going and these are the skills I need to get there. So I better teach them to myself.
Yeah, and I guess for practicing for, you know, 5 to 7 hours a day, pretty much for the past 3, 4, 5, 6, probably 9 years now. You know, that really pays off. At the time, you might not think it does, but one day you just pick up your instrument, for example, and you know, it's a lot easier, and you think, wow, you know, that really paid off.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. You know, you just have to work at it, and eventually, if you put in the time, you'll get there. So.
Let's go to another song from the CD. Let me let you pick. You and I sort of have a pre-established list of several songs from the CD. Where would you like to go?
Okay, let's play the song called The Ocean.
Ah, that was the one that I was going to, actually.
Ah, great minds think alike. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why is because it is so different from Into the Darkness. In many respects. So let's do it.
Yeah, this song actually, I ended up using 30 tracks.
Wow.
30 different tracks. So
wow.
It's a long time for this one.
And is there any story or any sort of stuff behind this song that would be of interest? Or?
Yeah, it's just about, the idea is a bit simplistic, but it's actually about the ocean, about like the weather, and the ocean can be very peaceful and beautiful, and then it can be extremely aggressive and dark. And I just took that, and I just paralleled it to different emotions, and that's how I wrote the song. So.
All right. Thank you. That's Cameron Strife and The Ocean. And Cameron, while we are listening to this, my husband, who we call Gary the Board Guy, who is sitting in the other room sort of monitoring, making sure the stream goes out, etc., who also has a degree in music, is exchanging comments to me here. And one of the things that we both felt, not only the blues influence that there, but in some places that guitar almost has an Otmar Liebert feeling. Are you familiar with Otmar Liebert?
The name vaguely rings a bell.
Yeah, it's your styles are nothing alike except the feeling, if you understand what I mean. There's just in some of the softer places with the guitar, there's this sort of feeling of, you expect that Otmar Liebert's going to just pop in and join you there at any moment. Now, what instruments do you actually play, or did you play in that piece?
Okay, for that piece, I played, I played a Yamaha 4-string bass through an Oberheim preamp. I played a Paul Reed Smith Santana SE electric guitar, again through the Oberheim preamp. I used a Tacoma D8 acoustic electric for the steel string acoustic parts. I used a Yamaha, actually a half-size classical guitar for the classical guitar parts at the end. And for the drums, I didn't have an acoustic drum set at the time, so I used that's actually a Korg XP10 keyboard.
Wow. And so you sequenced all of this together?
No, I only sequenced the drums. I just had the arrangement in my head. I sequenced the drums, and I loaded that. I bounced that audio to the multitrack I was using, which is a Frostex D16. And then I just had the arrangement in my head and just did the bass, then one guitar, then just carried on. And then I did some editing and patched in the effects and all that. And then I dumped on the sound clips that are at the beginning and the end.
Which were beautiful.
Yeah, that's off a BBC sound library, actually.
Oh,
royalty free.
Just beautiful. I'm going to email you and see if you can give me the link to that.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, that's that. They were just beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know, you mentioned these various instruments and equipment. What is a multi-tracker?
A multi-track recorder is basically a device where you can record and play back multiple inputs. So the deck I used for this particular album was a Frostex D16, so I used that with a 24-track 8-bus analog mixing console. So basically, you would run, for example, channel 9 would have a guitar. We would group that out of tape bus 1 to the multitrack. We would select track 1, which would record that sound source, the one you've directed to the recorder under track 1, and then that would go out of the multitrack through tape return output 1. That would go into the console, and you would select tape return, and you would get your sound coming back through a loop.
And how much of this do you do independently?
All of it. I did everything on this record. I did myself.
So every piece on this record was produced by you without sighted assistance.
Correct. I did everything from start to finish.
And you see, that's what I think is so cool. Not that I think that there's anything wrong with having sighted assistance. I mean, heavens knows, I certainly use it when I need it. But I think we sometimes, as blind people, may fall into the trap of, everything's digital and it's all menus and it all stinks and I can't do it, so why bother? And I know that in our previous emails, as we were sort of getting to know each other through correspondence, you had indicated to me that you had completed this on your own, and I really wanted to highlight that for folks, that certainly this is very doable and very possible.
Yeah, I mean, it takes doing it yourself, especially being totally blind, it takes longer sometimes to get the mix right, as far as setting the compressors and the effects processors and all those patches, getting that set up. There was probably at least 200 hours into this project altogether from start to finish.
Wow.
So it was a long time of just me locked in the studio with a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And my instruments. That was about it.
So 200 hours on top of full-time going to school. And obviously doing some other things outside of music. You mentioned earlier that you had other interests beyond music. Can you share some of those, giving us a bit of a well-rounded picture?
Yeah, sure. Well, I like reading. I have a lot of audiobooks, quite a big collection. Some of my favorite authors are Michael Crichton, Jack Higgins, Tom Clancy, Stephen King, people like that. I do a lot on the internet. I do a lot of research. I'm into technology and things like that. So I read the news a lot. Usually the BBC website. They're very accessible. And the content's very good. What else? I like outdoor things. I've had a couple of boats. I like canoeing and sailing. Obviously with a sighted person for navigation.
Yeah.
And, I like things like that. And I like writing. I've written some poetry. Not published at the moment, but maybe someday. What else? I used to be involved in sculpture.
Really?
More pottery, I suppose.
Oh.
So I did some of that. I don't do that much anymore because I don't have access to the facilities now. But
Did you do throne pottery?
Pardon?
Did you do throne pottery on the wheel?
No, I never used a wheel. I just did things by hand and then fired them and glaze them and all that.
Well, my bias is actually for pottery that's done by hand. That's an interest we share, actually, that I, in years gone by, have made things, and it's a nice feeling, you know? Even if the bowl isn't perfectly round, by golly, it's the bowl you made, so
yeah,
it's a really nice feeling. Well, let me give the number again. I have a feeling people are not calling because they're interested in hearing the music. So let me give the number one more time, and then let's pick another track.
All right.
The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. And if you are listening at any time other than 1 to 2 Universal on Monday morning, which is 9 to 10 Sunday night Eastern, 6 to 7 Pacific, it's a rerun. The phone number doesn't work. But it does work up until the top of this hour. And both Cameron and I would love to hear from you. Which track shall we go to next?
How about you pick one?
Oh, my turn.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about Expressions?
Yeah, that works.
All right. And you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. This piece is sort of free form. It was all improvised. It's only one take.
One take?
Yeah, that's all one take.
One take.
No edits or anything.
Oh, no wonder I like it.
Yeah, it actually came out very well. I'm very happy with this piece of music. It's markedly different from anything else on the record, and that's what I like about it. So I used my Kurzweil K2600 synthesizer for this. This song is about escapism, and it's about loss, losing a relationship, many other things combined, many things influenced the feeling of this piece of music when I was playing it. So.
I had the sense, and this can simply be my opinion on which you don't need to comment if you don't wish, but I had the sense that there was some anger in this song. And that it was being reflected through some of the music, that there was something going on that just needed to be expressed, if you will. So why don't we have a listen?
Thank you.
Cameron Strife and Expression. And that is the... Sorry.
That's all right. I was surprised at the end then.
Ah, I know, but that's such a beautiful ending. I'd forgotten that it did that. That is the title song from the CD?
Yes.
And, you know, one thing that, listening to that, I came away, and actually, I'm not quite sure why so much this time as perhaps not in other times, because I've certainly previewed all of the entire CD, but particularly the ones that we've selected. But this time in listening to it, I came away with a very spiritual feeling. Is that something that's intended? Is there some spirituality in there?
No, I don't think so.
Huh.
Although I do have a spiritual belief that wasn't tagged on to this.
Interesting.
In regard to what I was trying to express.
Interesting.
Although I can see how that could connect.
Yeah, I was suddenly sort of really feeling kind of the meditation stuff that I sort of believe in myself. We have a caller. Hello, caller. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Well, hello, Marlena. This is Charles in Sacramento.
Well, hello, Charles in Sacramento. Say hello to Cameron.
Yes, and hello, Cameron. We're here to your wonderful music.
Thank you.
And I have a question. You said you used a... I also have a Yamaha 4-track in a cassette recorder.
Okay.
Okay, so I take it that you're using a tape recorder, a 4-track tape recorder?
Oh, no, this is a... the one I used for this album was a Fostex D16, and that's a 16-track... It's a hard disk-based recorder, so it records wave files onto an internal hard drive. So it functions the same as yours, but the storage media is different. But the concept is the same. It works very similar to yours.
Okay, and then after, how do you burn the CD?
I just, once I did the final mix, I actually mixed down to mini disc, and then I edited the beginnings and the endings, got them correct. And then I just bounced everything to a Tascam CDR 700, which is a standalone CD recorder, which is pretty accessible if you can't see the screen, but certain things you can't do unless you can see the display. But, oh, no, it's a good unit. So that's what I ended up actually recording the final mixes onto.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I do a little of that stuff here. And I have a Yamaha. It's a 520 keyboard. And
yeah, PSR, yeah.
Huh?
PSR, yeah.
Oh, yes, the PSR 520.
Yeah, I actually used a PSR on this album. I believe it was a 550 or a 560, one or the other, on one or two of the tracks.
Yeah, except, you know, the sequencer on it, you know, you can't put much into it, unfortunately.
Yeah, for the MIDI work, at the moment I'm using a PC with Windows XP Pro, and I'm using Cake Talking version 3.1 with Sonar 2.2, and that's fully accessible. So I'd suggest that for MIDI as far as sequencing, because you can edit and everything like that. So I don't use the hardware sequencers or the synthesizer-based or module-based sequencers much because of the inaccessibility problems. So... Cakewalk is really the way to go for that if you want efficient, independent
yeah,
work.
So you use Cakewalk and...
And Cake Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
And Cake Talking, the scripts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't tried that yet. I have Cakewalk. Yeah. In fact, I have Cakewalk Express, and I know they're further than that, but I, you know, people tell me if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, I think, especially with audio recording and things, especially when you're visually impaired, when you're approaching things from a different angle than, say, a sighted person, some of the ways I do things in the studio are a bit unconventional, but I think whatever gets the job done, whatever is a means to an end that you find the easiest, I would say to go with that.
Well, and I, you know, the thing with the Cake Talking and the Cake Walk link. I know Bill McCann from Dancing Dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill is wonderful. He's just absolutely, just a genius. And just anything he puts his hand to, in my opinion, turns out to be a really good shtick for blind people. So I think that many of the artists at the Friends in Art at the ACB's showcase were cake talkers as well. So it's
they're a fantastic company for one thing, but the product really with Sonora opens up all sorts of things as far as editing and everything. It's really good that that's available. So hopefully that they will expand their product line to other things as well. Because as we were talking about earlier, with the advent of so much more digital audio technology nowadays, it's very tough to find that as things advance, that the level of access, level of usability by a blind person with a screen reader on the PC, especially the level of accessibility is really tending to drop.
Yes.
That's good that there's a third-party company such as Dancing Dots who is taking the initiative to, make these things accessible, because, the more you can do, the better.
Yes, hats off to...
Especially if you're trying to compete in the commercial market, it's so competitive.
Sure. Hats off to Bill McCann. Did you have another question, Charles?
Yeah, and I'll hear it off the telephone. If you ever go out on tour, you might explain how you're going to do that so you get the same sound. And I'll catch you later on.
All right.
Okay. Show, Marlena.
All right. Thanks, Charles. And you tell Miss Venus that I said hello.
Oh, she's listening.
All righty.
Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. So the question was, when you go out on tour, how do you reproduce the same kind of sound?
Right. Okay. Well, it depends. Okay, first off, with the guitar, I suppose, what I do is, at the moment I'm working on setting up a MIDI guitar rig, so it'll be a rack of a Marshall JMP1 preamp and some MIDI-enabled couple effects processors. What you can do is you can set a patch and program everything so that when I hit one button on my floor controller, that will change the amp settings and the effect settings at once. So as far as getting the guitar tone right, that would really be the way I would manage it. As far as the synthesizer, I would just program my own custom patches and have them on a smart media card, for example, just as a backup, and just memorize the patch numbers, and I suppose do it that way. Otherwise, sound venue to venue does change, with the acoustics and the amount of, the amount of people, the weather, the humidity, all that affects the tone. And the frequency response and all that. So it can be a gamble sometimes, especially if you're playing venues that vary in size. So
yeah, I would think that that it would be difficult. Now, when you go out on tour, do you? And I'm asking this question kind of as a blind person. Mm-hmm. Do you find that it's more difficult? Do you go with people? Do you go by yourself? What do you do?
Well, it depends. A lot of the time, a lot of the performances I've done have been regional. So it's really been like a day trip to a venue. I haven't had the opportunity yet to say take a month or two on the road straight, So, the next tour coming up, I would have a backing band and hopefully a small road crew this time, so that will make it easier. Because before the last band I was in London called Driven, their website is www.driven.uk.net. Last time, we used to do a lot of gigs. It was, we had a sound engineer who was also our roadie. A great guy named David, and what we would do is just pack everything up in the car and go, and we'd do set up and sound check and do the gig, and then tear down all the equipment, pack up, and go. So it was really a band operation, but it would be nice to, I would like in the near future to get a good sound engineer and at least one person for the road as far as, you know, equipment and all that. It would make things easier for me and the band, you know. We can concentrate on other things like promotion and all that, because it would save us time.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of time, we're coming up on 2 hours, and I'd like to get one more track in.
Okay.
So before I do that, let's again give out your contact information and website where people can purchase the CD and how people can get hold of you, and then I'll let you pick the next track, and we'll conclude the program with that track.
Okay, excellent. All right, my website is www.cameronstrife.com, CameronStrife.com. And on there you will find the link on the homepage to the CD Baby website. And also, if you go to the message board page on my site, there is a sign-up form, which if you send me your first name, last name, and email address, I will subscribe you to my free newsletter, which is sent by email once a month normally. And that has all the pertinent information about, you know, new releases and gigs and interviews and all that. So please sign up if you would like to be informed. And the rest of my contact information is on the site. So there you go.
All right. And we've got two sides or hypnotism. Which shall it be?
Ooh. Let's go with hypnotism.
All right. That was my choice. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you so much, Cameron, for joining me. And I just know that the listeners have enjoyed this every bit as much as I have. And you are a delightful person.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.
I'm Marlena Lieberg. Thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to the music of Cameron Strife.